Mesechta Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Hei, 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Dalar and Beis, and the Gemara just mentioned a din from that da, and we will now discuss another din of that da, even though it is not relevant to our topic, and really is relevant to Perek Ezu and Neshech. And the Gemara begins, Amri Nada, Hai Iska, Palga Milvo, Palga Begodin, Ovri Abana Milsa, the Nichle Leva, the Nichle Lumalva. Then when two people are entering into a business partnership, where there is an operating partner and a passive investor, the proper way to set up the transaction in order to avoid any issue of ribbis is in a manner that is referred to as chatzi milvo, chatzi bekodin. And for example, if Reuven has merchandise that is valued at $1,000, Reuven contributes this merchandise to the partnership, and Shimon will now travel to another city and sell it for $1,500 and split the profits of $500 with Reuven, and Reuven will receive his original $1,000 plus an additional $250 of profit, and Shimon will receive $250, and Shimon did not make any investment at all of capital. So it is a major problem as it's Mechzeh Karibis, as it seems that Shimon is paying Reuven $250 for letting him use his merchandise or his money, and therefore the Chacham set this transaction up as follows, that $500 of his original merchandise is considered as a loan from Reuven to Shimon, and if Shimon will lose it, he must pay $500 back to Reuven, and the other $500 is considered a pekadin, and Shimon is a Shem Chinam that is watching that money and that merchandise for Reuven, and if the $500 worth of merchandise is lost or stolen, Shimon wouldn't be responsible since he is a Shem Chinam on that portion. L'maisa, when Shimon ultimately sells this merchandise and makes $500, so since Milvaloit Zanina, so half of this merchandise really belonged to Shimon at that point, and therefore he keeps all of the profits that attributed to his share of the merchandise, and since his share of the merchandise was $500, so he would keep 50% of the profit, and he would keep $250, while the other 50% of the merchandise was Reuven's, and therefore Reuven also made a profit of $250, and this way it is not Mechzeh Karibis. However, Rabbanan still had one issue, that it's still Mechzeh Karibis, as ultimately we understand why Shimon would travel and work hard to sell his $50 of the merchandise, as he will keep all the profits of that merchandise. But why is Shimon working for Reuven and selling Reuven's portion of the merchandise? And it looks like he's doing so because Reuven lent him 50% of the merchandise, and therefore it looks like Ribis, and therefore Rabbanan required that Reuven either give Shimon an extra dollar to compensate him for his work, or as we will see in Agamara, that the standard was that Shimon, or what we will call the Leiva, will get 2/3 of all profits, and Reuven or the Malva will only keep 1/3 of the profits, and Reuven will still be responsible for half of the losses, and therefore will no longer be Mechzeh Karibis. And our Gemara continues that Hashadan Minim Palga Milva, that now that we said that half of the merchandise is considered like Halva to Shimon, so if Shimon decides that he doesn't even want to sell this 50% of the merchandise, and instead he wants to go and buy beer, or as Rashi states, that he will use it for a tzoyis of his house, and he'll use it for his living expenses, then he can do so. And of course, at a later point, Shimon will still be responsible to pay Reuven back the $500 that he borrowed from him. However, the Gemara states, Rava Amar, that Rava argues and says, L'hachi kar le iska, that l'maisa, this transaction is still called an iska, da amale, ki avina l'cha l'yasuka bei, v'loy l'mishta bei shukha, as Reuven could tell Shimon that even though it's true that the Rabbanan set this up as a chatzi milva, and it's considered like you borrowed this money from me, but ultimately, the main point of this halva was that you were going to go and take $1,000 and travel to another city and do business. And of course, it's beneficial to me that you would actually go with a lot more merchandise, as you will have better selling power. And as Rashi states, and because you will be going and trying to make a profit on your share of the money, you will actually be matriach and you will do business in a better manner. And therefore, I will have a gain by you going and working with the full $1,000. And therefore, Reuven could hold Shimon back from doing this, and Shimon cannot use the money for his own expenses, and he must go and travel to another town and go and try to sell the full $1,000 of merchandise. And the Gemara continues, Amr Rav Idi Ba'Ovin, Rav Idi Ba'Ovin states, V'mes nasa metalfon eitzel banav, that if the operating partner, who we called Shimon, and who is the one that borrowed the money from Reuven, ultimately dies before actually making a profit, so at that point, 50% of the merchandise was halvah to Shimon, and as we know, and therefore it was considered as if Shimon owned this merchandise, and even though it's true that Shimon owes $500 to Reuven, the Maisa, this merchandise is Metaltlin, and we know Metaltlin diaspi loy mishtabdi l'balchayiv, and therefore Reuven cannot go and collect the Metaltlin from the Yisayimim, and Reuven would lose out and would not be able to collect his $500 of merchandise. However, once again, Rava comes to the rescue of the lender and of the passive investor, and Rava says, l'hachi kar le'iska, that's why we call it an iska, the mess lo yasim metaltal eitzel banav, because even if Shimon will die, that these merchandise will not be considered metaltalin by his children, and his son would actually have to give the metaltalin back to Reuven. Rashi states l'hachi karle iska shdei kayemis tamed u'misasik ba. The Rav is trying to explain to us why the standard in a metaltal diaspi loy mishtabdi doesn't apply if l'maisa 50% of the merchandise was considered alva and mobile son. No, and Rav explains because ultimately this is not like a regular halva where it's like son. No, and the opposite is true, that the expectation was that Shimon will actually hold on to the merchandise and take the merchandise to another town and sell it. And as Rashi states, the kivin tzrichali is kayemes michase aleh kemekakai. And since Reuven knows that this merchandise always has to be around, therefore Reuven was soymich on the merchandise as being collateral for the loan, just like he is soymich on regular kaka. The time of the loik mishtabdi metaltal liyasmi l'bachoyv, as the entire sphere why metaltal liyasmi is not mishtabdi l'bachoyv is mishum de mikur lavalau samach, as the malva was not soymich on metaltal. The lavalu migmim benau isvei shrei biyadalai tzion, as when the lender lent money to the borrower, he never thought that he would go after the metaltalin, as l'maisa metaltalin is fungible and it's possible to hide it, and therefore he was never soymich das that he would actually collect metaltalin, and he was only soymich das on kaka. However, avalhani ein biyadalai tzion v'samach layu benigei this metaltalin, where the whole point of this transaction was that the borrower will actually keep the metaltalin around and will go and sell the metaltalin. Therefore, the malva was soymich that he could always get this metaltalin back, and therefore he could even be goyvim metaltalin from the yisaimim. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rava, that Rava will teach us another din that's relevant to an iska that's chetzi milva and chetzi bekodin. And as Rashi says on the top of daf kuf heyam and aleph, ve'itzitayva kamashmal on Rava, and Rava is coming to teach us that itzitayva the bechad iska lichtav chad shtara, that when you have one business transaction, then you should write one shtar or betray iski, and when you have two different business transactions, nichtav beishtari, then you should split up the transactions in two separate shtaris, ve'yadav shakol, and this way everything will be even, as we will explain in a moment. And as Rava states, chode iska v'trei shtari p'seidu d'malva, if someone has one transaction and he sets it up in two separate shtaris, then it will cause a hefsid to the malva. And as we explain, there will be a potential loss to the lender and to the passive investor. We continue on daf kuf hey amud aleph, trei iska v'chod shtara p'seidu d'loiva, and if someone has two separate transactions and he writes both transactions in one shtar, then there's a potential that that will cause a loss to the borrower or to what we would call the active partner or the operating partner. And let us now explain the Itzateva of Rava that we previously mentioned, that in order that an iska shouldn't be mechzik ribis, so the malva used to accept upon himself 50% of the risk and losses, while he would also only receive 1/3 of the potential profits, while the operating partner would get 2/3 of the profits, even though he accepted upon himself only 50% of the risk and 50% of the losses. And keeping this in mind, so if Reuven and Shimon entered into one transaction, and for example, Reuven contributed $1,000 in merchandise to a deal, and meanwhile they documented this transaction as two separate documents and two separate transactions, and for example, they wrote one shtar for $500 and another for $500, so let's say Shimon would completely lose the first $500, so Reuven would have lost $250, and since half of this transaction is considered chatzim milva, therefore Shimon is also responsible for $250 of the loss on the portion which was categorized as a chetzi milva. And if Shimon then turned a profit with the other $500 and, for example, made an extra $600, so Reuven would get 1/3 or $200 of the profit, while Shimon would keep 2/3 of the profit or $400. And ultimately, when calculating the net profit between both transactions, so Reuven will have a net loss of $50, while Shimon will have a net gain between both transactions of $150. Now, of course, that is not very good for the malva, and therefore Rava says that when having one transaction, you should make sure to write it into one shtar and document it in one shtar. And therefore, if they would have documented the single transaction in one shtar, then we would look at the net gain of the partnership as a whole. And although it's true that Shimon lost $500, but ultimately he also made $600, and therefore when looking at the entire business, there was a net gain of $100, and therefore Reuven would actually receive 1/3 of the profits and will have a net profit of $33 instead of a net loss of $50, while Shimon will receive 2/3 of the net profits, or $66, instead of receiving $150. And the same cheshbon can be made where there really was two separate transactions. For example, Reuven invested $500 with Shimon on Sunday and then invested another $500 with Shimon on Monday. And if instead of documenting it in two shtaris, they documented it in one shtar, then if we use the same exact scenario as we mentioned before, then the reverse would be true, and the loy board of managing partner will will lose out. And of course, since they documented it in one transaction, therefore we will combine the net profits of both transactions, and using the same facts as before, the labor will only net $66, while if they would have separated each transaction, then the labor would have net $150 of profit, as we explained, and therefore Rava gives an Eitza Teiva as to the proper and fair way to document transactions, and if it is a single transaction, it should be documented in one shtar, while if they are two separate transactions, then they should be documented in two separate shtaris. And the Gemara continues with another member of Rava, V'amar Rava, Hayman Nekabel Iskum and Chavri Upasid. If an operating partner goes into business with a passive partner and he loses money, and for example, Reuven takes $1,000 investment from Shimon, and then he loses $500, and of course, based on a din of Chatzim Milva, Chatzim Bekodin, if they would actually stop the partnership at this point, then Reuven would lose $250 and Shimon would lose $250. However, Reuven did not tell Shimon that he actually lost the money, and instead he kept doing business, and Tarachu Malei V'loyoidei, and Reuven worked very hard, and he was able to make up the loss, and he reinvested the last $500, and he made back the entire loss, and now he's back to the original point where he has $1,000. And Rava teaches us, Le'matzi Amalei Dorei Mehich Pseida Ba'adoi, Reuven can't say to Shimon that L'maiso originally we lost $500, and you should take on the responsibility of $250, and now that I made $500, and we split our gains two-thirds, one-third, so I should keep two-thirds of the gain, and you should keep one-third of the gain, and we should look at this as two separate transactions. And in the first transaction, we both lost $250, as we both accepted upon ourselves 50% of the losses. However, on the second transaction, I actually made $333, and you only gained $166, and therefore, my net is that I gained $83, and you suffered a loss of $84. And Rava tells us that we look at this as one transaction. Ultimately, now that Reuven has the original $1,000, so therefore he has to pay the entire $1,000 back to Shimon. And Rava explains, Mishum da amalei l'hachi tarach de l'malusei ki hech l'likul l'cha mafse iske, that the reason why you didn't inform me and tell me that we suffered a loss and you kept doing business was because you were embarrassed to tell me that you suffered a loss, as if that would happen, that people would say that you're not a good businessman and they wouldn't trust you in the future, and therefore it was for your benefit that you wanted to consider it as one transaction, and at this point you can't decide that it should be treated as two separate transactions. But certainly if Reuven would have told Shimon in middle that I don't want to continue this iska and I want to begin a new transaction, he could do so, because we know that a poel is allowed to be chayza afilu b'chetzei ayayim. And the Gemara continues with another member of Rava, V'amar Rava, hani betrayed the avdi iska b'hadi adadi v'ravach. If there were two people that were both active partners and they took money from a passive partner in order to go into business, and for example, Reuven and Shimon decided to go into a partnership and Levi was their investor and Levi gave them $1,000 of merchandise and they made up that they're going to work together for 2 years, and Lemaisa, after 1 year, they already made a profit, and for example, now instead of having $1,000, they had $1,500. And Reuven says to Shimon, Taliflug, at this point, I want to take my profits, I don't want to continue our shufis. Rava tells us, if Shimon says to Reuven, I don't want to split up the partnership and I want to continue for the next year because we could make more profits, then Shimon has a right to be ma'akev and he doesn't have to break up the partnership and he doesn't have to make any distributions to Reuven. And Rava now explains, if Reuven says to Shimon that I don't want to split up the entire partnership and I want to leave the principal in the business, but I want to take out my share of the $500 profit, so Shimon will say to Reuven, that the profit is meshubit to the Karen, and certainly during the next year there is some risk that we could lose money, and therefore I want to make sure that we have enough money in the business that in case we suffer a loss within the next year, we will still have enough money to pay our investor back. And if Reuven says to Shimon, then not only do I want half my profit back, but I also want half the Karen back, and I want to completely dissolve the partnership. So Shimon says to Reuven, Iskal hadodi meshubit, lemaisa, if I have more money, then of course there's more of a chance that I will make more profit, and therefore I don't want to dissolve the partnership at all, and if I only had 50% of the original money, then there's more of a chance I will lose money, and potentially I will not be able to pay back the Karen to our investor. So certainly Shimon could be ma'akev, and Shimon doesn't have to dissolve the partnership, and l'chayr, this middle case is not more of a chiddush than the previous case. However, the middle case is coming in order to teach us the third case, as Rava continues, v'yamalei niflag ravcha v'niflag karna v'yamatilach pseida d'arina ba'adach, that if Reuven says to Shimon that I want to split up the entire partnership and I want to dissolve the partnership, and I will take the responsibility that if you lose money, that I will cover all of your losses. L'chayr, in this case, Shimon doesn't have any potential loss, and why wouldn't Reuven be able to say to Shimon that let's dissolve the partnership? And even so, Rava says on Malay that Shimon says to Reuven, Lloyd, I don't want to do this, as mazel de betray odiv, by the fact that you're my partner, there is a certain mazel that comes along with it, and you can't force me to break up the partnership. And ayin tesis diba maskel mazel de betray odiv, bekul have a matzal amein b'brachi. In all these scenarios, we could have actually said mazel de betray odiv, el dadif b'nei k'ambu, but in all cases, we gave a better response, and the Gemara only had to come on to this answer only at the point that we were talking about a scenario where Shimon said that he'll be responsible for all potential losses. And we continue with the new Mishnah, and this Mishnah will be talking about Chakires and not about Kablonis and not about a sharecropper. As the Mishnah states, HaMekabel Sodom and Chavira V'loi Rotzel and Nachesh, Reuven leased the field from Shimon and he doesn't want to weed the field, and the Minig HaMokim was to weed the field while the plants were still growing. And Ma'am Aloy, Reuven says to Shimon, Ma'ich Bislcha, why do you care if I weed the field or not? Since Lamaisa, I will have to pay you a rental payment no matter what, and therefore you won't have any loss. And the Mishnah teaches us in Shimon Lai that we don't listen to Reuven, because Shimon could say to Reuven, that tomorrow at the end of your lease period, you may leave the field and you may not renew your lease, and ultimately you'll leave weeds for me to deal with, and I will have to eventually deal with this issue. Rashi states in Shimon Lai, the chiddush of the Mishnah is only necessary in a case of chakunusa, where Reuven is chayiv to pay a set amount of tfua, the iba kalmelusa pshita, as if Reuven was a sharecropper, then it's pashut mi matzi amalei ma ichbis l'cha, that certainly he can't say to Shimon, what do you care, as certainly Shimon is going to get a percentage of all that grows, and certainly by not weeding the field will produce less tfua, and therefore Shimon will certainly have a loss. And the Gemara begins that our Mishnah just taught us that if Reuven says to Shimon that I won't weed the field, and ma ichbis l'cha, then ain Shimon loy mepesh yach loy mloy l'mocha ati yitzim meno u'mayos l'fanei asavim. And the Gemara asks, v'yomolei l'basa chikurim nala, and if Reuven says back to Shimon, I will weed the field after I already harvest all the tefuah, and ultimately I will give you back a field that is weeded, and all the weeds were taken out, how can you have a taina l'mocha ati yitzim meno u'mayos l'fanei asavim, if I'm agreeing that I'm not going to leave you any weeds? And the Gemara tells us, omolei, Shimon will say to Reuven, chitim ma'al yisabi'ina, l'maisa, when you pay me your lease payments, you're going to pay me from the tefuah of this field, and because you're not weeding the field, the tefuah will be of less quality, and I want to get better quality. And the Gemara continues, and if the farmer still says to the landowner that I won't pay my rent from the actual tefuah of this field, and I will agree to buy you good quality chitim from the marketplace, so l'chayr, I'm not causing you any loss, so l'chayr, again, he should have a taina of ma'ich b'slcha, and Amalei and Shimon respond to Reuven, chitim da'rabi inon, l'maisa, I have a right to get chitim from my own land. And this goes into the gedda of Adam Reitzer B'Kav Shaloi, Yoitzim Yitisha Kavin Shel Chaveri, and the landowner has a right to say to the farmer that your responsibility is to pay me directly from the crops of this field. The Gemara continues, that if Reuven says to Shimon, that although I won't take out the weeds from the entire field, but I will take out the weeds from the area where you will get your portion from, and therefore your tefuah will be high quality, and if so, once again, I have a taina of my ich b'slcha, and Amalei, Shimon will respond, that commands for Shemra la'roi, that since you will weed part of the field, and part of the field you won't weed, but people that see that you are weeding the field, they will think that you actually took out the weeds from the entire field, and even so, there are so many parts of the field that still have a lot of weeds, and they will think that my property is not a very good quality property, as it continuously produces weeds, and therefore you'll cause that my property value will go down. And the Gemara continues that now that we went through the shakla v'tayah between the farmer and the landowner, but the Gemara asks, but tam and place shemal sofani asavim, that the Mishnah only gave one reason and said the reason why Reuven can't do this is because Shimon will say to Reuven that you're leaving me weeds, and l'chayr, it's not based on all these other tainas. And the Gemara answers, ein echanami al mishum da amalei bizur de nafal nafal, that there's really one reason for the entire sugya, and the reason why Reuven can't say that I won't weed your field, because ultimately, as long as you don't weed a field, then the weeds will grow more than it would have if you would have weeded it at the time that the plants were still growing. And once it grows to a certain point, the seeds of the weeds will actually fly all over the field, even if you will weed it after you're finished, and even if you will plow it after that point, it will still cause that in the future there will be many more weeds than in the past, and therefore you're causing a loss to Shimon, and that's why Shimon could be ma'akev. And we continue with the new Mishnah, and this Mishnah will be dealing with an aris specifically, and with a sharecropper, and not with chakiris. And the Mishnah states, HaMekabel Sodom HaChaver V'loi asa, that if a farmer is a sharecropper and the land is not producing, therefore the sharecropper doesn't want to work the field as he won't be receiving enough profits for his time. The Mishnah teaches us in Yeshba Kadel Hamid Kri Chai Lutapaba that if the land will produce enough that you could pile up the tefuah and the Gemara will define exactly what this amount is, then the sharecropper is still obligated to work in this field. And Amr Behuda, my kitzvah bekri, Behuda argues on Tanakama and he says that how can you say that the actual shear is based on a pile of tefuah? You can't have one shear for every single sada, as it should be based on the size of the sada. And if a sada is a smaller sada, then the shear should be smaller. And if the field is a larger sada, then the shear should be larger and should be more. And therefore, Behuda says, Alim Yeshba Kedei Nefila, that the shear that we take into account, Benegeya Shearcropper, is if this field will produce enough crops that it will be enough seed to be able to replant this field for the next season. And Rashi explains that the Mishnah uses the Lashon Nefila, Zerah Shem Fazlo B'Mavayil Siad, as when seeding a field, you throw the seeds into the field with your hand. And as we explained, that Rashi states that our Mishnah is specifically talking about a sharecropper, the Ibech HaKenusa, as if we're talking about a Chayka, Ma'aloi L'Bal Sada Mechtaloi, why would the owner of the field care if he doesn't work the field, as ultimately he's responsible to pay him his lease payments no matter what the outcome is, and no matter how much crop grows in this field. And the Gemara begins and brings a Braisa that's similar to our Mishnah, but based on the Braisa, we can understand why the Tanakama said that the share is in Yesh Bakadei L'Hamid Kri, as the Braisa states, Tan Rabbanan, HaMakabal Sadam Chaveir V'Loi Asa, in Yesh Bakadei L'Hamid Kri, Chayav L'Tapaba, which is exactly like our Mishnah, and the Braisa explains the reason, Shekach Chayseloi, because this is what the sharecropper writes to the owner of the land in their contract and in their agreement, and the contract states, Ano Ikim Va'onir Va'ezra Va'echzoid Va'emed Va'odish Va'idri Va'ukim Kari Kadamach V'tesi Ant V'tito Palga Va'noba Moli V'nafkas Yodai Palga. The sharecropper states that my responsibilities are that I will stand and I will plow your field, I will also sow your field and cut your field, I will bundle the tefuah together, and I will also thresh and winnow, and I will make a pile of tefuah for you, and then we will split the profits, and you will take 50% of the profits because you own the land, and I will take 50% of the profits because of the work that I put into the land. But ultimately we see that his responsibility is to be Oikim Kari Kadamach. Therefore, as long as he could still make one pile, he is still chayiv to work and still chayiv to continue doing what he promised. And the Gemara continued, V'kama Kedei L'Ham Bakri, what is the share that the Mishnah stated of Kedei L'Ham Bakri? And Omer Rabbi Yisrael B'chino, Kedei Shetam V'Rachas, that the pile of grain that this land produces is going to be enough that if you take the shovel that a person uses to winnow the tefuah, they use the shovel to pick up the grain and throw it in the air in order to separate the chaff from the good kernels, and you could take that shovel and stick it into this pile of grain, and the shovel will stand properly and firmly. That is the shear of Kedei L'Ham Bakri, and a sharecropper would be chayiv to work in that field. And the Gemara asks, Yibayilu, we had the following shayla, Rachas HaYotzim HaGisla HaGisamai, what if the shovel could stand? But ultimately you could see part of the bottom of the shovel, and of course the area where you pick up tefuah in the shovel is very wide, and therefore, even though it's standing in the grain, but part of the shovel could be seen, and the pile of the tefuah is not very wide, and is that considered enough Kedei L'Ham Bakri or not? And the Gemara says, Tashma, I'll bring a raya, as Omer Vo, L'dim Mifish Lemonade, Rabbi Chayisi Bebrina, that was explained to me, the name Rabbi Yisrael Bebrina, Kol She'in Kreni Shaloi Raya Pnei Chama, that the share is that not only does it have to stand, but you also can't see the bottom of the shovel, and therefore the pile has to be wide enough that the pile is covering the full scooper part of the shovel. The entire scooper part of the shovel cannot see the sun and is not exposed to sunlight. And the Gemara continues, Itma, we learned, Levi Amma Shalosh Soin. Levi explains that the share of Kedei L'Ham Bakri is the share of three soin, and the Beir Rabbani Amru Sasayim. However, the Yeshiva Rabbani, they explain that the share is two so of tefuah. And some explain that Levi and the Beir Rabbani are coming to explain the Shita Rabbi Yisrael B'china, who explained that the share of Kedei L'Ham Bakri is Kedei Shetam B'Rachas, and they are explaining that that share is either two or three saw. Or some explain that Levi and the Beir Rabbani are actually arguing on the Shita Rabbi Yisrael B'china. And the Gemara continues, Amr Ish Lakish Asayim Shamru Chutz Min Haitzah, that Rish Lakish teaches us that when the Beir Rabbani said that the share is two saw, he means to say that you have to have a net of two saw, and that is after your expenses. So for example, if the expenses for the sharecropper to go and plant this field and take care of the field is the share of five saw, then the sada would have to produce seven saw in order for the sharecropper to be obligated to continue to work in the field. Gemara continues, Tanan Hassan, we learned in the Mishnah Mesechtes Uksin, Pritzei Zeisim Vanovim, olives and grapes which will never ripen, Beishame Metamin, Beishame still considers it a food product, and therefore he considers it tabe, and it could be Mekabel Tumah, or Beisil Metarim, Aaron, and Beisul says it's not considered food product, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumor. The Gemara asks, my Pritzei Zesim, what does it mean when we discuss Pritzei Zesim Vanovim, and Amar Rav Huna, Rishei Zesim, that we're referring to those Zesim, which are like Rishoyim, that never ripen, and will never grow past the stage of being Baisa, and Amar Rav Yosef, or Mikra, and where do we see this in the Pasuk? As the Pasuk states in Daniel, Ubnei Pritzei Amcha, Yinasu Lahamed Chazoyim V'Nichshalu, that the children of the Rishoyim of your nation will try to come up with Eitzes and have a vision to do bad, but ultimately they will Nichshal, and their plans won't be successful. In the Maisa, we see the Lashon of Pritzei referring to Rishoyim, and the Gemara continues, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak on Mehecha, and Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak brings a Pasuk in Yecheskel, as the Pasuk states, V'hoyle ben Paritz Shefech Dam, and the Gemara continues and asks, V'kama Pritzei Zesim, and what is the share that olives or grapes would still be considered Pritzim, and would still be considered that they're never going to ripen, therefore we would have the Machlekes between Beisham and Beisil, Rav Elazar Imah, Bos Kabel and Kira, Rav Elazar explains that if you take a bunch of these olives, and you put the standard amount that a person would put under the beam in the olive or the wine press, then it would only produce 4 kav of olive oil or of wine, then it's producing so little wine and olive oil, so therefore they're still considered pritzim. And the Beir Rabbiani Amas Asayim L'Kaira, and the Yeshiva Rabbiani, they said that if you take a standard amount of olives or of grapes and you place it under the beam in the olive or the wine press, and it only produces 2 sa, then these olives or grapes would be considered pritzim. Keep in mind that the Shir Rabbiani is 3 times the Shir Rabbi Elazar, as a sa is 6 kav, and therefore Rabbiani said that the Shir is 12 kav, where Rabbi Elazar said the Shir is 4 kav. And the Gemara states, "V'loy pligi," and there is no real machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and the Beir Rabbi Yanai, as harba asur ma'ili kur b'ula, harba asur ma'il tlasa kur b'ula, that we're just talking about various minhagim and various types of olive and wine presses, as Rabbi Elazar was talking about a small wine press and a small olive press where they used to place a core of olives or grapes underneath the beam, and of course that's 30 sa or 180 kav, and Rabbi Elazar states that if you yield 4 kav of olive oil or wine after pressing this amount of olive or grapes, then that is such a small amount as it's about 2% of a yield, and therefore they're still considered pritzim. However, in the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, they were discussing an olive or wine press that actually was 3 times as large. They were able to press 3 kor at one time, which is of course 90 sa or 540 kav, and therefore the same proportion is in order. That's why the Beir Rabbi Yanai said that if it produces only 12 kav of oil or of wine, then it's still considered pritzim, which is once again a yield of about 2%. And Rashi explains that the Baran Amid Beulah b'tepucha racha shekaren sack in one pile, which was called a sack. V'yesh makom shebater batir and gedolu machnisin shloishes kurin yachad. V'yesh makom sheim machnisin al kur zaysim b'tiina koyra. V'shir Rabbi Elazar b'tanin Rabbi Yana b'gedolim v'sasayim havetlasa zimni abo kabin. And therefore, it's the same proportion and the same ratio. And the Gemara continues Tanur Rabbanon and some agurist tnan hasam. And this is the Mishnah Mestech Tzavim. And we continue on daf kufheim beis alu be'ilon shekaren. That if a zav goes up onto a tree or goes up onto a branch together with someone that's tar, so as we know that a zav is mitame b'mishkav u'v'moshav and beheset, and therefore the Mishnah teaches us that if a zav is on the same trunk of a tree or on the same branch of a tree with someone that's tar, and it's a weak tree or a weak branch, then certainly the branch will move, and either it's moving because of the person that's tar or because of the zav. But in either case, the din is that the person that was tar becomes tamei, and Rashi explains tamei atar shekivin sheilon oyaseicha koychura nechvefes tachtein v'kaver the elyon al tachton v'nishal love ubein zav shenishal atar ubein tar shenishal zav tamei, and it doesn't make a difference if the zav leans on someone that's tar or a person that's tar leans on someone that's zav, that the same din applies, and the person that was tar becomes tamei. And the Gemara asks hechi dami ilon shekoychura, what is the shear of an ilon that's koychura? And Amri Rebbe Rabbi Yanai, and once again the Gemara brings a member from the Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, Kol She'im Be'ikrei Lachuk Reva, that if the thickness of the trunk of the tree does not have enough to be able to carve out a Reva Kav of wood, that is considered a weak tree. And the Gemara continues, Hechi Dami Seicha Shekechira, what is considered a branch, which is considered a weak branch, Amrish Lakish, and Amrish Lakish explains, Kol She'nechpas Bechazeyna, that if there's a branch, that if a person puts his hand around a branch, he will cover the entire branch and it'll be completely concealed, that is considered a very weak and very thin branch, and therefore it's considered keichira, and the din of tumah would apply. And I am Taptasis, who's bothered that l'chayr, why do we have to have a share as to the actual strength of the tree trunk or the branch, if l'chayr it should be based on if it's shaking, and if it's shaking, then the din should be that he's tumah, and if it doesn't shake, then it should not be tumah. And as Taisa says, tema amai kari in keichira l'fisha inu nechbes bagrefa, Mishloi, Valoi, he races Tachteyen. The Gemara continues with another memra, which will mention the Beir Rabbi Yanai, and this will be the fourth memra that we've had. Tanan Hassan, we learned in the Mishnah Mesechtes Alois, Hamahalch Bebeis Apras, Al Gabe Avon, Mishiach Lahasset, Ala Od Val Behim, Shekechin Ra, Tomei. As we know, a Beis Apras is an area where we know that it was a kever, and this field was plowed, and now all the bones of the body were scattered amongst the whole field. And Rabbanu were choshesh that someone, while walking through the field, may come into contact with an etzem kisaira and will become a tame tumis mace based on tumis maga, as certainly tumis oil doesn't apply unless you have a larger share, and a share of etzem kisaira is only mitame b'maga v'masa. Mishnah tells us that Ruvin is walking in a base of pras and he walks on top of a stone that is not securely attached to the ground, and by him walking on it, the stone could move, and possibly when the stone moved, it actually moved a piece of a bone as well. Or if Ruvin is sitting on top of the shoulders of Shimon, or on top of an animal, and Shimon or the animal is walking through this field, Shimon or the animal were very weak, and therefore they themselves would not necessarily have moved the Etzem Kisaira, but because Ruvin is on their shoulders, therefore it gives them more strength, therefore they possibly kicked the Etzem Kisaira, and they moved an Etzem Kisaira, and even though Ruvin did not come into direct contact with the Etzem Kisaira, but ultimately he caused it to move, and therefore the din is that Ruvin will be Tamei Meis. And the Gemara is, Hechi Dami Adam Shekeichi Ra, how do we define a weak person? And Amri Shlokish, Rish Lakish explains, Kol Sherechvei Vakvaisa of Neikshais, if Shimon is a person, that when Ruvin rides on top of Shimon, that his knees knock together, then he's considered a weak person. And Hechi Dami Behema Shekeichi Ra, and what is the definition of a Behema that's Keichi Ra? And once again, Amri Be Rabbi Yanai, they stated in Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, Kol Sherechvei Matil Glolim, that any time that you ride in this animal, it is Matil Glolim, and it goes to the bathroom. And the Gemara continues with the fifth member of the Beir Rabbi Yanai, as Amri the Beir Rabbi Yanai, as they stated in Yeshiva Rabbi Yanai, Letfilu Letfilin Dal Kabin. The Gemara explains the member of the Beir Rabbi Yanai, Letfilu Mai. What does it mean, Letfilu, that is a shear of Dal Kabin? The Tanya is, we went to the Braisa, Hanoisim Masa Ksefa Vigiyaz Man Tfilu. If someone is carrying a package on his shoulder and he gets up to his Man Tfilu and he wants to daven Shmoyin Esrei, so Pachas Min Dal Kabin, if the package weighs less than 4 Kav, then Mafshil Lachur of Mispalo, then he could still have Kavona even when he's holding the package, and therefore he could sling the package over his shoulder and he could daven Shmoyin Esrei. However, Abo Kabin, once the package is already the size of 4 Kavin, Meniach Al Gabi Kaku Mispalo, then he has to take the package off his shoulder and place it on the ground and only then daven, because otherwise he won't have proper Kavona. And the Gemara continues, Litfilin Mai, and when Debei Rabbi Yanai stated, Litfilin Dal Kabin, what shear were they referring to? The Tanei was willing to write, so how you know, Masa Reshoi, if someone is carrying a package on his head, Vitfilin Bereshoi, and he also has a tefillin on his head, im hoy tefillin reitzayis also, that if the tefillin were being crushed by this package, then it's also for him to carry this package while he's wearing tefillin, vim lav mutar, and if the package was lighter, then he could still carry the package while he's wearing tefillin. And the Gemara continues, be'ezu masa amru, and what is the size of the package that will be also to carry while you're wearing tefillin, b'masu shel abos kabin, if the package weighs 4 kav. And the Gemara continues, tani Rab Chiya taught in the Braisa, hamaitzi zevel areshoi, if one's taking out fertilizer on his head, utfilin bereshoi, and he's wearing tefillin, harez aliyah salkim l'tzadim, he shouldn't move the tefillin to his sides in order to make sure that the tefillin are not next to the fertilizer, v'lei kashmim mustav, and he should also not tie his tefillin to his belt and let them hang, b'pleishu noyig ben minig b'zayin, as that would be a b'zayin for the tefillin, avol kashmim al-zroi b'makimim tefillin, instead he should take off his tefillin shel reish, and he should place it on his arm next to his tefillin shel yad. The Gemara continues that although up until this point we were speaking about packages and we were speaking about Zevel, however, Mishun de Beshila Amru, in the Yeshiva of Shila, they stated, that you now let it even leave the bag that you put your tefillin in that night on top of your head while you're wearing tefillin. As Rashi says, the Gemara continues, and what is the shear that you now let it put on your head while you're wearing tefillin, according to Beshila, that even if it's not something that's not a derech b'zayin, but it's based on being something of weight, that you now let it place on your head. So Amr Rabbaya, Afilu Rivad Rivad Pumpadisa, even if the item that's on your head is as light as a quarter of a liter of the Shiurim of Pumpadisa, that would also be also to carry on your head while you're wearing tefillin, even though the shear is very light. And the Gemara continues and quotes from a Mishnah where we saw a machlekes between the Tanakama and Rabbi Huda, as the Tanakama stated, Makabal Sadam Echarer, Vele Asa, Om Yeshba Kadela Hamid Kri, Chayav Lutapaba, that the sharecropper still has to work in the field if the field will produce a pile of tua. And we saw that Rabbi Huda was Chaylik on the Tanakama, as Om Rabbi Huda, my kitzvah Bakri, how could you give a shear shear that's based on a pile of tefua, and that will be the same shear in a small and large field. Elim yesh b'kadein filah, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that the shear is that the field has to be able to produce enough seed to be able to reseed the field for the next year's season. And our Gemara is v'kama k'dein filah, and what is the shear of seeding a field? And Rabbi Ami om Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Ami states in the name Rabbi Yechon, abosah on the kor, it's four saw for every kor, and the gur is four kav for a kor. And Rabbi Ami dileyama, and Rabbi Ami himself says shmoinis saw on the kor, or like the gur's gur is shmoinis kav on the kor, a kav for every kor. And keep in mind that according to our gear saw, it comes out that Rabbi Yechon held that the shear is about 13%, and Rabbi Ami himself held that the shear is 26%. But according to the gur, it comes out to about 2% or 4% respectively, which seems to be a more reasonable share of seeds versus crop. And the Gemara continues, Amaleh Husabal Rab Chama Breder Abavua, that this older person said to Rab Chama Breder Abavua, and generally Husabal refers to Aliyah Anavi, Azbalcha, I will explain to you that there really is no machlekes between Rab Ami and Rab Yechron, as Bishneid Rab Yechron Havashmina Ara, as in the years of Rab Yechron, the fields were better quality, and therefore they need less seed for a base core. However, Bishneid Rab Ami Havakhisha Ara, in the times of Rab Ami, the fields already became much weaker, and therefore you need a lot more seed for a base core. And as we know, Rabbi Ami was a Talmud Rabbi Yechon, and in one generation we see that there was a need to double the amount of seed for every base core. Ayin Rashi who states, Azbulcha lav de Rabbi Ami polagar Rabbi Yechon Rabbe ela sha'ilu miskalkav ha'ilach, that the world continuously loses and depletes its resources. And just so we understand the size of the field that we're referring to, so we know that a base core is made up of 30 saw, and we know the Chatzah Mishkan was sasayim, was 2 saw, and was 100 by 50 amis, and therefore a base core is the size of a field that's 1500 by 50 amis, or 75,000 square amis, which is a huge amount of area. And the Gemara continues, Tanan Hasa, we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Peor regarding the din of leket, that if there was leket in a field, and a ruach shepizah so'imim, and there were bundles in the field, and there was a lot of wheat, and it spread the wheat all over the field, and now there's a mixture between the wheat that was already picked and leket, which belongs to aniyim, so'im d'nei sekama leket, ru'ilaseis v'neisel aniyim. So the Tanakama holds that Bezin would have to go to this field and estimate and evaluate what the percentage of leket would be for this type of field, and then the owner would have to give that amount to the aniyim. However, Shimon Gamliel, remember, Shimon Gamliel states there's no need for estimation, as neisel aniyim k'dein nefilah, as we know that the share is k'dein nefilah, the kama k'dein nefilah, and what is the share of k'dein nefilah? Ki asr Rav Dimi, where Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Elazar, he said in name Rav Elazar, v'item Rav Yechron, and some say he said in name Rav Yechron, abos kav l'kor, is a share of four kav for every core. And the Gemara continues, Boy Rabbi Yemiel, the core zera, the core tfura, the mapil sad, the mapil shvarim, that there are different ways to measure a core. Either you could say that this field is a core because you take a core of seeds and you plant this field with a core of seeds, and of course that would be a huge amount of space, as the seeds, of course, would produce a lot more than a core of tfura. What do we say that it means for every core of tfura, meaning that this field holds a core of tfura? Rabbi Yemiel also had another shayla. Do we say that we're talking about a case where the person goes around and spreads the seed by hand, and that would be less seed? Or do we say that's talking about a person that spreads the seed with a perforated wagon that is drawn by a shar, and therefore there would be more seeds? And Rashi explains that the second shayla Rabbi Yemiel is based on Imtim Sleima, as Imtim Sleima l'kor zera, then the shayla is l'mapil siad o l'mapil shvarim. The Gemara continues, Tashma, let's bring a raya. The chi asa rabin amrabavo amrabalaza va'amrila amrabiechron abos kabin l'kor zera, that he specifically stated that the share of leket is four kav for a core of zera, and therefore we see that the share of leket was dependent on a core of zera and not on a core of tefua, and therefore the amount of leket actually comes out to be a lot less. Gemara ends off, although we brought a raya to the first shayla of Rabbi Yemiel, now that we know that the share is based on a core of zera, v'adayin tibayilacha, we still have the shayla, and the Gemara ends off, teku, and we will stop over here.